Snickers filter throughout the room. Mrs. Burton whips around.
What happened?
She asks. I don't answer her, and instead glare at Mark. Every school has one. A tough guy. A bully. Whatever you want to call him. But never has one materialized this quickly. His hair is black, full of hair gel, carefully styled so it goes in all directions. He has meticulously trimmed sideburns, stubble on his face, bushy eyebrows over a set of dark eyes. From his Letterman jacket, I see that he is a senior, and his name is written in gold cursive stitching above the year. Our eyes stay locked, and the class emits a taunting groan. I look to my seat three desks away. Then I look back at Mark. I could literally break him in half if I wanted to. I could throw him into the next county. If he tried to run away and got into a car, I could outrun his car and put it in the top of a tree. But aside from that being an extreme overreaction, Henri's words echo in my mind.
Don't stand out or draw too much attention.
I know that I should follow his advice and ignore what has just happened, as I always have in the past. That is what we're good at, blending into the environment and living within its shadows. But I feel slightly off, uneasy. And before I have a chance to think twice, the question is already asked. Did you want something? Mark looks away and glances around the rest of the room, scoots his weight up the chair, then looks back at me.
What are you talking about?
He asks. You stuck your foot out when I passed, and you bumped into me outside. I thought you might have wanted something.
What's going on?
Mrs. Burton asks behind me. I look over my shoulder at her. Nothing, I say. I turn back to Mark. Well? His hands tighten around the desk, but he remains silent. Our eyes stay locked until he sighs and looks away. That's what I thought, I say down at him, and continue walking. The other students aren't sure how to respond, and most of them are still staring when I take my seat between a red-headed girl with freckles and an overweight guy who looks at me with his mouth agape. Mrs. Burton stands at the head of the class. She seems a little flustered, but then shrugs it off and describes why there are rings around Saturn and how they're made mostly of ice particles and dust. After a while, I tune her out and look at the other students. A whole new group of people that I'll yet again try to keep at a distance. It's always a fine line, having just enough interaction with them to remain mysterious, without becoming strange and thus sticking out. I've already done a horrible job of that today. I take a deep breath and slowly exhale. I still have butterflies in my stomach. Still the nagging shake in my leg. My hands feel warmer. Mark James sits three tables in front of me. He turns once and looks at me, then whispers something into Sarah's ear. She turns around. She seems cool, but the fact that she used to date him and is sitting with him makes me wonder. She gives me a warm smile. I want to smile back, but I'm frozen. Mark again tries to whisper to her, but she shakes her head and pushes him away. My hearing is much better than human hearing if I focus it, but I'm so flustered by her smile that I don't. I wish I could have heard what was said. I open and close my hands. My palms are sweaty and beginning to burn. Another deep breath. My vision is blurring. 5 minutes pass, then 10. Mrs. Burton is still talking, but I don't hear what she is saying. I squeeze my fists shut, then reopen them. When I do, My breath catches in my throat. A slight glow is coming from my right palm. I look down at it, dumbfounded, amazed. After a few seconds, the glow begins to brighten. I close my fists. My initial fear is that something else has happened to one of the others. But what could happen? We can't be killed out of order. That is the way the charm works. But does that mean that some other harm can't befall them? Has somebody's right hand been cut off? I have no way of knowing. But if something had happened, I would have felt it in the scars on my ankles. And only then does it dawn on me. My first legacy must be forming. I pull my phone out of my bag and send Henri a text that says, C-M-E-E, though I meant to type C-O-M-E. I'm too dizzy to send anything else. I close my fists and place them in my lap. They're burning and shaking. I open my hands. My left palm is bright red. My right is still glowing. I glance at the clock on the wall and see that class is almost over. If I can get out of here, I can find an empty room and call Henri and ask him what's going on. I start counting the seconds. 60, 59, 58. It feels like something is going to explode in my hands. I focus on the counting. 40, 39. They're tingling now, as though little needles are being stuck into my palms. 28, 27. I open my eyes and stare ahead, focusing on Sarah, with the hope that looking at her will distract me. 15, 14. Seeing her makes it worse. The needles feel like nails now. Nails that have been put in a furnace and heated until they're glowing. 8, 7. The bell rings, and in an instant, I'm up and out of the room, rushing past the other students. I'm feeling dizzy, unsteady on my feet. I continue down the hall and have no idea where to go. I can feel someone following me. I pull my schedule from my back pocket and check my locker number. As luck would have it, my locker is just to my right. I stop at it and lean my head against the metal door. I shake my head, realizing that in my rush to get out of the classroom, I left my bag with my phone inside of it, and then someone pushes me.
What's up, tough guy?
I stumble a few steps, look back. Mark is standing there, smiling at me.
Something wrong?
He asks. No, I reply. My head is spinning. I feel like I'm going to pass out. And my hands are on fire. Whatever is happening couldn't be happening at a worse time. He pushes me again.
Not so tough without any teachers around, are you?
I'm too unbalanced to stay standing, and I trip over my own feet and fall to the ground. Sarah steps in front of Mark.
Leave him alone, she says.
This has nothing to do with you, he says.
Right. You see a new kid talking to me, and you try immediately to start a fight with him. This is just one example of why we aren't together anymore.
I start to stand up. Sarah reaches down to help me, and as soon as she touches me, the pain in my hands flares up, and it feels like lightning strikes through my head. I turn around and start rushing away. In the opposite direction from the astronomy class. I know that everyone will think I'm a coward for running, but I feel like I'm about to pass out. I'll thank Sarah and deal with Mark later. Right now, I just need to find a room with a lock on the door. I get to the end of the hall, which intersects with the school's main entrance. I think back to Mr. Harris's orientation, which included where the various rooms were located in the school. If I remember correctly, the auditorium, band rooms, and art rooms are at the end of this hall. I run towards them as fast as I can in my current state,